The Bible reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 28, and that can be found on page 1188 of the Church Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Victoria, very much indeed. Let's keep that open. If you've got sight of that, it'd be great to do that. And let me pray. I'm just going to draw your attention to verse 16 to 18, which is what we're going to think about now. Let me read that. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Not least for this word that we have to think about now this morning. Please speak to us afresh and encourage our hearts to respond to you how you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, what is the secret to getting through a difficult time like this pandemic, and not just surviving, but thriving and having a smile like Victoria, Mark, and Ruth? The challenges of these last 18 months have been many. Let me just remind you of a few. For some of us, it's been a quiet time. You may have initially welcomed that respite, perhaps the chance to let go of some things that were on your plate. But as time's gone on, many have found it increasingly lonely, boring, and just seemingly endless. For others, though, it's been really, really busy, relentless, in fact, working from home with no boundaries between work, rest, and family time, kids homeschooling or isolating, and everything is just more complicated. Everything seems to take longer, doesn't it, as you have to think carefully about the risks involved and do all sorts of extra planning. You just love a bit of respite, but maybe you've hardly seen any yet. For many, though, it's been a time of sickness or loss. Loss of job. Loss of your favourite hobby. Separation from loved ones. Bereavement. And not being able to grieve normally. I wonder which of all of these challenges has been uppermost for you. All of them, of course, have one thing in common, and that is we have needed to endure, to keep going, and to do so without the usual breaks and varieties. Well, we hope today would be a great service of thanksgiving to celebrate the end of the COVID restrictions. And while we're so glad that we are making great progress, it still seems, doesn't it, like another stage in the marathon that is COVID-19. So what is the secret of getting through, keeping going in a time like this? Well, the reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians can help. It's a section where he is speaking all about life together as a church family. But the three short verses we're focusing on are particularly about what we should be doing when we gather. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we saw that there are three movements going on in a Christian service. God to us, especially through his word. Us to one another, and then us together to God. Well, today, the things we're looking at are all this third one, us to God. How we respond to him in Christian services together. And we're going to see three main components of our response to God when we gather. And here they are on the screen. We're called to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And doing these together, we'll find, is one of the secrets of getting through this difficult time. So first, be joyful always. Now, rejoicing is normally something you do when there's something to be really glad about. In our house over the next 2 weeks, there is likely to be, I hope, lots of rejoicing about the Olympics. We've got some Olympic mad boys who love it all, and especially when Great Britain gets a gold medal. But how can you be joyful always? How is that possible? Well, it must be, mustn't it, that there's something that's always there that you can be joyful about, no matter what else is going on. Now, this is such a short little sentence, isn't it, here in Thessalonians, but there are other Bible passages that give us a fuller picture of how we can be joyful always. Listen to Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Or in the Psalms, Psalm 95. Come and sing for joy to the Lord. Or Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So, we can be joyful as Christians because of the Lord. Times change, things go up and down, but God doesn't change. He is always a loving heavenly Father to his people. And this command is also doable for us because it's first and foremost about what we do together. And again, here, the Psalms are a wonderful help. They are the Bible's hymn book for God's people. And they call us to rejoice in him together. They get us to recount and remind ourselves what is true of God all the time. And other Psalms retell the story of God's great acts of salvation, all that he's done in the past, sometimes in amazing detail. Why? To remind us of what we so easily forget and bring us back to the Lord to rejoice in him. But when we say be joyful always, we can think, can't we, that it must mean we have to work up a permanent feeling. But what about the times when you don't feel like being joyful? When you don't feel like that permanently cheerful Ned Flanders in The Simpsons? I came across this little poem this week. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing. You see, God's word draws our attention to what is always true about God. True joy, you see, will be based on what is real and objectively true about him, and not about our feelings. And when we focus on who God is and what he's done, our feelings do, in fact, usually come along and follow the facts. So don't put feelings in charge, put facts in charge, and you'll find a route to joy. Even if at the moment there's so much sadness that you can't feel the joy of the Lord as normal, you can still, with your mind, Rejoice in him. Rejoice in what is objectively true. And that is what Christian joy is based on, what is objectively true. Be joyful in the Lord always. Second thing to do together, pray continually. Now again, at first sight, this seems really difficult to do, doesn't it? Does it mean that every second you should be in a continual state of prayer? Well, you know that we can generally give proper attention to only one thing at a time. So again, it's helpful to see that this command is first and foremost an instruction about what to do when Christians gather. We're to keep praying and not giving up. Remember Jesus' parable about the persistent widow. She just kept coming and asking the unjust judge, and she wore him down, so that in the end, he gave what she asked. But how much more will our loving Heavenly Father give to us what we petition him for? Or take as an example the first church, the church in Jerusalem that we've been thinking about this term. Remember that description of them in chapter 2 of Acts? They were devoted to the prayers. And when the hard times came, as they did, they kept praying. And through that, God strengthened them. Remember that room shaking in response. So we must keep prayer at the heart of our gatherings. It's really interesting to note, isn't it, that the Church of England's service book is the Book of Common Prayer. And morning services in that are called morning prayer. Because the founders of the Church of England thought that prayer was to be one of the main reasons we gather. So our times of prayer and intercession are not something that we're to sort of quickly get through like a routine. They're to be at the heart of our services. So please pray for those who lead our prayers. They're taking on a big responsibility. Pray for them to do it wholeheartedly and creatively. Encourage them, thank them, and engage your own hearts too during those times. Likewise, our midweek prayer meetings are special. They're not just a week off growth group. They're really important. And at the moment, they're easier than ever to join on Zoom on Monday lunchtime weekly or Wednesday evening, approximately once a month. Pray continually. Don't give up. But pray about what? Well, of course, Jesus guides us supremely with the Lord's Prayer. And what we're told and taught to pray about there is a guide for all of our prayers. But of course, there are so many more examples in the Old and New Testament about prayer and what we should pray about. And it's very diverse. For instance, Paul says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Some examples of things we're encouraged to pray for. Pray for one another. Pray for those sent out from our church in mission, like the Smiths. Pray for the church throughout the world. Its leaders, its faithfulness, its holiness, its unity. Pray for the leaders of our nation, that we will be a society that is just, that is compassionate and free. Pray for the whole world, especially for those places that are resistant to the gospel of Christ. For peace, for our environment, for the poor and oppressed. Do we take prayer as seriously as we should? Jesus calls us to pray and not give up. And God loves to answer. Could it be that the comparatively slow progress of world evangelization and slow progress of our own mission is in part because of the relative prayerlessness of God's people? As James said, you do not have because you do not ask. Well, I do sometimes wonder about that. Pray continually. And then third, give thanks in all circumstances. Again, at first sight, this seems incredibly difficult, doesn't it? How can we give thanks for things that are not good? Well, evil situations, of course, are not good in and of themselves. But God is sovereign, and he is good. And all circumstances are in his hands. And he makes wonderful promises, like that one in Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God promises to use all of your situations for good. And did you notice what the good thing is in that sentence? It's to make us more like Jesus. Which means that even in the most awful and difficult time, we can give thanks for that. What else to give thanks for? Well, again, the Psalms are a wonderful model. Listen to Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wonderful ways that God provides for us. And as New Testament believers, we know that some of these things we experience in part now, but in full in the glory to come. These are things that we can daily thank God for. And remember, this is a command, firstly, about church, doing this together. So a service today where we take stock and give thanks is a really good thing to do. Also, there are many other opportunities, like the Harvest Thanksgiving coming up in September, or like Trinity Sunday, or every time we share the Lord's Supper, we're giving thanks for Jesus' death for us. Did you know that the word Eucharist means thanksgiving? And of course, in addition to these general reasons to thank God, every time there's something specific happens that is good or an answer to prayer, we should give thanks to him. I wonder, did you know that thankfulness has many great benefits for us? Even psychologists have done research to show that it improves things like our physical health, our emotional health. It helps you sleep better. It improves your relationships, self-esteem, and increases mental toughness in hard times. It's amazing, isn't it, what the Bible has known for thousands of years, modern psychology is just discovering. For instance, gratitude was shown to be a protective factor for veterans of the Vietnam War when it came to their post-traumatic stress. Or it was also shown to be a major contributor to resilience for those impacted by the terrorist attacks of 9/11. And I bet you when this pandemic is over, some psychologists will observe that those who were thankful did better in many ways through this difficult time. I mean, just think about it for a moment. What will we be like if we're not people who give thanks? Well, we'll be more curved in on ourselves, won't we? Our worlds will just revolve around us rather than being open to what God is doing for us and what other people are doing for us. And that'll result in us being more self-centered, more grumpy, more complaining about all that's going on, all the inconveniences. And when we feel we're doing well, we'll be proud, won't we? We'll be more independent from our gods. We'll be probably less kind to others if we're not thankful to them. Giving thanks has huge benefits. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom recounts the awful experience of being incarcerated, locked down in a Nazi concentration camp because she and her family were helping Jewish people to hide. And she describes what it was like arriving in that concentration camp when they arrived at the hideous barracks that they were going to have to stay in. An awful, awful place, women crammed together. And even worse, in their barracks, it was infested with fleas. And Corrie describes her sister praying after they'd arrived in the barracks. And Betsy prayed, "Thank you for the fleas." The fleas! This was too much for Corrie. She said, "Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea." Well, Betsy said, "Give thanks in all circumstances." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And she said, it doesn't say in pleasant circumstances, all circumstances. And fleas are part of the place where God has put us. And so, Corrie says, "We stood between our bunks and gave thanks for fleas." But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. Well, the weeks went by. And one evening, Corrie arrived back at the barracks, and Betsy's eyes were twinkling. "You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself," she said. Well, Betsy said, "You know, we've never understood why we've had so much freedom in our barracks. And that's because they'd been having Bible studies and prayer meetings in the middle of the concentration camp. Amazing." And Betsy said, "Well, I found out why. This afternoon, there was a confusion in my knitting group, so we asked the supervisor to come in and settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And do you know why? Because of the fleas." That's what she said. "The place is crawling with fleas." What a wonderful example. Thank God for the fleas. What a reminder to give thanks in all circumstances. You never know what God may do with it. But even if we don't experience some magnificent provision like this, Paul says in our reading, do it because it is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. God's will is that we are thankful, a thankful people. And that in itself is a reason good enough to do it. In fact, God's will surely applies to all three of these things. Whenever we meet as Christian people, it is God's will that we rejoice, that we pray, and that we are thankful. Well, in conclusion, think again how this pandemic is still impacting you. Loneliness and boredom? Well, what is one way to counteract these? Well, it's gathering with God's people to be joyful in Him together, to pray to Him, to thank Him for all the blessings that you do have. And however hard it's been, we do have lots of blessings, don't we? Well, what about the busyness and the relentlessness of it? Well, again, there is still much to rejoice in the midst, isn't there? It is a blessing to have lots of good things to do. And if that's you, well, you need prayer and the prayers of His people, not to carry the burdens alone. And giving thanks can make all the difference, can't it? It could just change our perspective totally on these things. What about grief and loss and sickness? These are hard things to bear. The feelings of grief will not go quickly, and nor should they. But what better way to walk in grief or in sickness than with others, with God's people, rejoicing in the Lord's continual goodness, even in the midst of sorrow, praying for strength, because He wants to give it, and thanking Him for those things that we have in the past enjoyed and may again soon. Be joyful in the Lord always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every circumstance. These are God's will for us in Christ Jesus. They are things we do towards God when we gather in response to His commands. But they're also His very great gift to us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you give to us of these things. We thank you so much that we can rejoice in you at all times. We thank you that we can pray to you, that your ears are open to our prayers. We thank you that we can give thanks in every circumstance, and there are a multitude of reasons to do that, even in hard times. And so, Lord, we thank you for bringing us to this point of this pandemic. We thank you for the freedoms we now have. And we thank you for the love you give to us, that we can continue to love one another. And so we pray that you will help us. You'll keep us going. You'll use these three things to keep us going through the summer months and beyond. And Lord, we ask it for your glory, and that we will be a light and a help to the world around. In Jesus' precious name, amen.